Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Well, as I like to say, that little boop boop in the music starts the show. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. On Monday, May 22nd, 2017, the third of three shows we're doing. This one's going to be really cool because we have Gina Lamott. Gina is the executive director and founder of a group called EcoRise, just like it sounds, EcoRise, which is also their Twitter. And it's EcoRise.org. They have a K-12 curriculum in PD for teaching sustainability, which is a good thing and a big thing. And we'll be talking about it and some of the nuances of it, etc. I want to thank my good friends over at EdCircuit, EdCircuit.com, for introducing me to Gina and also for helping me bring this show to you. So it's really cool. Hello, Charles and Rod and I'm looking forward to getting the show together. It's really good. If you want to get great information on K-12 education and hear it from all points of view, you want to go over to edcircuit.com. And I actually write a column over there. I hope you enjoy that. But there's plenty of other things to look at, read, and learn all over edcircuit.com. Please check it out. They tweet at edcircuit. And you'll enjoy my columns. At least I hope you will. I'm getting nice vibes on it, so I think you might. All right, so thank you for A, sponsoring, and B, introducing me to Gina. All right. By the way, I want to remind everybody to do our other podcast, Education in America. That's the one for parents and community. We'll have a show on Thursday this week at 10:30 in the morning Eastern time, and it's going to highlight the school district of Wasatch, Utah. I'm trying to get the good things going on in school districts out there so that parents, community understand why they need to support public schools. So that's over educationamericapodcast.com. This show will be archived at our professional educators website, which is education-talkradio.org. And, of course, we tweet at EduTalk Radio. Without further ado, here she comes, the one and only Gina Lamott. Hi, Gina.
Hi there.
How are you? Call me Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
It's good. Are you down? Where are you in Texas? Are you in Austin?
Yeah, we're in Austin, Texas.
Lucky you. Great city, I got to tell you. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. You know?
We love it here.
It is good. Yeah, I don't blame you for loving it there. Everybody loves it there. All right. And EcoRise.org. Let me just read this so people can get a feeling. EcoRise Youth Innovations offers a school-based program that empowers students to tackle real-world challenges in their communities by teaching sustainability, design, and social innovation. Your Train the Teacher model, an online platform, mm-hmm. provides K-12 curriculum, professional development, and community resources to educators around the world. The EcoRise program, great name, by the way, EcoRise. The EcoRise, E-C-O-R-I-S-E, you're welcome, program develops the next generation, I like this, of creative problem solvers by offering teachers and students the tools, community, and inspiration needed to design a sustainable future for all. That'd be nice since we all live on one planet, right? Nice to make it sustainable.
Exactly.
We got nowhere else to go. Okay.
So yeah, exactly. There's no planet B.
I was going to ask you my first question. Why is this important to teach sustainability? But I think I just answered it. We only have one planet.
Yeah. Not only do we have one planet, but teaching sustainability from a educational standpoint is also about teaching systems thinking and having students understand that every action that we take, every purchase that we make has a ripple effect. And, that level of critical thinking and empathy that builds is essential life skills from our perspective.
Boy, it really is. How long have you been doing EcoRise? What got you started with it?
I started the organization about 9 years ago, and I've been working in education my entire life, all over the world, really interesting communities throughout South Asia and Latin America and various places in the U.S. But when I moved to Austin about 13 years ago, I was working in the school district and was working with lots of fantastic, educational programs, mostly in the after-school programs, a lot of informal settings. And yeah, very creative programs. But I was seeing a lack of any sort of programs that were really focused on teaching sustainability and that allowed students to create, real changes on their campus to make it healthier, greener, more efficient. And so this is where the element of design and social entrepreneurship and innovation is also sort of married with our approach to sustainability education. So I created it a few years back, and of course it's gone through many iterations as we've grown and honed our model, and we've moved to a train the teacher model as we grew. We used to be in the classroom teaching it ourselves, but there was a lot of interest from a lot of teachers, so we changed things around so that we would be able to bring this content and this programming to more teachers around the world.
That's great. You're saying around the world, which is wonderful, and you're in Austin. Are you working with a lot of school districts in the U.S. at this stage, or what's going on? Or around the world, wherever you want to say. Yeah,
I think in the United States, we'll land at about 250 schools this year. In the next, I guess we have a few more weeks here left in the school year, but we've worked with teachers, supporting them with online and in-person training and all of our different curriculum suites at a number of different districts throughout the U.S. Of course, we have a heavy footprint here in Texas, but we also, with an EPA grant, launched in Boston and D.C. a couple of years ago.
Had
some great traction with other districts, but we also partnered with the U.S. Green Building Council, which are the folks that do the LEED certification of buildings, so the green building plaques and such. And with them, we launched the online platform that has reached hundreds and hundreds of schools throughout the world with the sustainability curriculum. So at least teachers around the world through the Learning Lab platform can access this content. And then if they so choose, we love to support them with online and in-person training and support as well.
Wow, it's really cool. So what grades are we talking about? Let me start there. What grades are we talking about?
Yeah, kindergarten through 12th grade, the whole shebang.
Good. And you guys will go into any district or work with them on the web or whatever the case may be to get this sustainability thing going. And are you finding that it lands more in elementary school or more in middle school science? Or where's it usually wind up landing?
Yeah, usually in middle and high, it is in the science classes. And I suppose elementary as well. Elementary does have a little more flexibility. We started the organization in high school, really trying to reach students before they were about to enter into, college and career paths and become, active consumers and adults. We were really aiming for that age of, 16 to 18. But as we grew, we had a lot of interest from the middle school teachers who wanted to embed this into their programming and curriculum. And then, of course, elementary came naturally after that. So our experience is mostly in secondary school until the last 2-3 years in which we started expanding into elementary. So within high school and middle school, it tends to land in environmental science, of course. But that's something that we are actively diversifying so that we can essentially offer teachers across an entire school district from every subject area some way, content and training and support to integrate this into language arts and into social studies and mathematics. So sustainability isn't siloed in the sciences.
I love that. And also, by the way, I know on your website, CTE, Career and Technical Education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is
key
stuff.
Yeah, we work with
a lot
of CTE teachers. Yeah, and that's a growing field for us because we have just launched a couple of programs. One is called Ecopreneurship, teaching sustainable business practices, and that is aligned to entrepreneurship and business courses. And then the other one is the LEED prep course, which is teaching the LEED green building certification programming through construction management and architecture courses.
I think it's really great, and we got to get it out of the silos. It's so darn important what you're doing here. When you got started to now, 9 years already, I'm just curious, the typical thing, and you kind of summed it up, typical thing is, this is just a thing we'll do for 3 weeks, okay, and we'll tell the kids not to recycle their tin cans or whatever it is. That's not what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that story. What are, like, the common misconceptions out there, Gina, regarding or maybe a better question is what would hold a school district back from doing this? However you want to answer that.
Yeah, I see. I mean, in our experience, of course, the most precious asset in any school is time. teachers and administrators are juggling so much, and to expect sustainability to rise at the top as priority number one is just not the case. And so frequently we are met with a concern that teaching this type of content will somehow take away from some of the other critical subject matter that must be taught and, you know, that critical classroom and instructional time. And what we really are trying to help support teachers with is understanding that this is not taking away from what you must teach. This is actually supporting what you need to teach. And it's a lens by which every subject can be discussed. You know, how is sustainability and economics, where do those two pieces you know, have an intersection of shared priorities and issue areas? And you also see that, you know, through the lens of sustainability, there's so much great real world problem solving that can take place. It's taking that a lot of times the STEM subjects can be abstract. You know, it's hard for a lot of students to test on those, and to have a real world application of science, engineering, mathematics, et cetera, to be able to solve real problems, to strengthen their innovation muscles, and to be active, engaged citizens in their community is golden educational content right there. So,
it is.
You know,
it is.
One of the biggest jobs on our end is really helping a teacher and administrator understand how can you do this in a way that is viable, that you have time for, and that supports you in all of your other educational goals.
Well, they do have time because all of this, you said at the beginning, you're creating the next generation of problem solvers, the next generation of creativity, okay? And all that is to the standards, you know, of critical thinking and communication and collaboration and all those all those kind of things. So what you're doing fits right in, and the kids, I would bet you, love it. Okay, they like
so
environmental, you know, ecology, that sort of thing. They love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hands-on way to approach a lot of these subjects that are oftentimes taught through books, frankly. But it's also an opportunity for them to have a voice and to have agency in their community and to give students a space in which they can solve a real problem and share their solutions with not just their teachers and principals and such, but with their parents, with the community at large. It's incredibly empowering, and it's teaching them the skills of being a leader and how to work in a team and how to take risks and how to, you know, be creative and think outside the box. So you're right. Those are 21st century skills that, you know, directly apply to college and career readiness and,
cool stuff, and
being a successful citizen. Yeah. It's exciting.
Okay. That's good. Gina Lamont, I have a question for you. Of all the 9 years you've been doing this, what's the most fun thing you've seen come out of it? Like, what's the best project you've seen?
Oh, man.
What's the coolest project?
Well,
I'm going to keep asking you this. What's the coolest project you've seen? What's the most innovative project?
One that gives us, I mean, there's a lot. Our students have created thousands of projects at this point. But one that gets brought up repeatedly because it gives us a chuckle was last year here in Austin. We had a team that did a goat raising feasibility study on their campus to determine whether they could indeed raise goats. And then they had created a small business doing goat's milk soap. And so at the showcase at City Hall, we had our students sampling their goat's milk soap. And that one continues to get folks laughing and you know, eyebrows raised and impressed. And we're like, we need to give these kids some seed funding to launch this business on a larger scale.
They really did it. So they actually raised the goats and got goat's milk. And made soap.
Yes.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Pretty adorable.
Yep, well, how old were those kids?
I believe they're either upper elementary or middle school. I can't quite remember. But
they raised goats.
Fifth, sixth grade.
I'm impressed with that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What's the real goal of it all? When all said and done, I mean, what's the goal? It's not just to fill up time.
Well, yeah, definitely. The ultimate goal, I would say, a lot of people see us as an environmental organization first and foremost, but for us, it's really first and foremost about youth leadership and creative problem solvers. So mm-hmm. in a world that is moving quickly, evolving fast, we need to be resilient. We need to have the tools to solve problems quickly because we don't know, you know, what life is going to look like in 20 years from now on this planet. And so teaching students, building
this. We don't know what life is going to look like this Saturday on this planet,
let alone 20 years from now. Yeah. And so, you know, teaching students the skills to be able to innovate is as at the bottom, at the end of the day, what is at the foundation of our organization and mission.
It's really cool. And do you find that school districts who do this for younger kids keep following up year after year? Or do they just see it as a one-time thing? Like, we'll do it in second grade and thank you very much. Have a nice day. Or are they doing it second, third, fourth, fifth? Yeah, what do you hear?
Different schools are adopting the program at different levels. So sometimes it fits really well within, you know, a seventh grade class or what have you. And we have about a 92% teacher retention rate. So once teachers work with us, they are generally really excited and want to continue this year after year. We do have some districts, though, that have said, hey, we want to do this kindergarten through 12th grade. And because we have our curriculum scaffolded throughout those, you know, from the entire range, we're able to offer the content that would allow them to have those kind of building blocks and age-appropriate mm-hmm. materials. So it's not redundant. They're not learning the same thing year after year. So there's lots of goodies, you know, from a content perspective that can be plugged into the district. But, you know, it's a growing movement. The Green School movement and teaching sustainability thankfully something that is gaining momentum in this country. And so we're happy to support these schools in, you know, offering this type of material and training in a way that's unintimidating, that is standards aligned, that helps them with their other goals, and mm-hmm. you know, that is as relevant as possible. You know, making this information exciting for kids and getting them active while they're sitting in a classroom for 12 years. They might as well be solving our world's problems.
Here, I couldn't agree with you more. As opposed to me flunking my math test. Okay, that's what I spent 12 years doing. So it's really good. You know, you mentioned all over the world. You said you taught in Asia and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious, are the kids that are, let's just say they're working in Austin, Texas, where you are, okay, in the schools, mm-hmm. are they connecting with kids all over the world and looking at the, for instance, the environmental problems in India? Okay, you had mentioned Southeast Asia before, so I'll just jump to India. Okay.
Yeah.
Are they connecting with kids all over the world?
That's actually where we want to take our organization next. We're building out relationships in various countries around the world. We have partners in Mexico. We're building out partnerships in Colombia and South Africa and India.
Cool.
And so one of the goals that we have, and we have a couple of partners identified for this, is to have the students actually work collaboratively across borders shared sustainability projects. So, you know, how are we tackling water conservation in Central Texas? And how does that compare to how students in Northern India are tackling water conservation? And so thinking through, you're right. I think there's a huge opportunity, and I'm very biased towards any sort of international education. But to have the students connect across classrooms using, you know, today's technologies that we have at our fingertips. It's very simple. So that's on the horizon for, we're going to tinker with it this coming school year, but I think we'll really have a full program probably the following year. But it's really exciting for us. We're also translating all of our content into other languages. And right now we have quite a bit of it in Spanish. And so we're looking at connecting a lot more students throughout Latin America, particularly with Spanish speaking communities here in the United States. So we have a lot of dreams up our sleeve, a lot of big ideas for how to take it to the next level. But just as we see, you know, sustainability education growing in the United States, it is just as popular, if not more popular, in other countries throughout the world where they see the realities of these sustainability issues on their front doorstep. And they as well want to prepare their young people, their children, for the futures that they face.
You know, we're using the word sustainability a lot. Just give everybody your definition of sustainability.
Yeah, for us, we use the triple bottom line version of sustainability. So obviously, you know, in order to be sustainable, you're creating life that is conducive to life. You create, you know, products and services and solutions that are conducive to life and sustain us. However, we, on a more kind of, you know, intellectual framework perspective, and the way that we present it to students is teaching a triple bottom line approach, which means when you're creating a solution, you want to not only consider how it is environmentally sustainable, but also how it is economically sustainable and how it is equitable or socially sustainable. So those are the three pieces, the social, the environmental, and the economic.
Wow, that's pretty good. The economics is great. There's all this talk about teaching kids economics by real life situations. This is a great way to do it because this is a win-win. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, when schools use your curriculum, I just asked you so everybody knows, is there a cost or does it come to them free?
Yeah, we have a whole spectrum. Some of it is free. We have various modules that are free through the Learning Lab platform. And then we have a minimum $40 subscription for the full suite of curriculum on the Learning Lab, which is, to be frank, it's not just Ecorise material. It's also a number of other organizations' material. So it's an annual subscription. Tons of great stuff, beautiful videos, and lots of good content. And then beyond that, we have other packages for the ecopreneurship course we have a biomimicry course for chemistry, physics, and biology teachers. The LEAD course is a separate course as well. So there's right. various price points. We want to make sure that it's accessible to everybody and there's always something that they can engage in.
Right. It is really cool. When you say biomimicry, I saw that on here.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean me imitating a cuckoo bird? Cuckoo. Do you mean that?
No, not quite.
Okay.
No, biomimicry is a fascinating design strategy that has gained a lot of momentum in the last few years. And basically, it's the effort of sitting, you know, you have engineers and product designers, all sorts of different professionals that can sit at a table with biologists. And they say, you know, we are trying to desalinate ocean water. That's our design challenge in a way that's more affordable. What biologist in nature naturally desalinates ocean water? And how can we learn from its form and function in a way that informs human design so that we create designs that are leveraging the 3.8 billion years of research and development that nature has on us? So they would look to the seagull's nostrils as an example of how to desalinate ocean water.
That's a good example.
The shark's skin to create more streamlined bodysuits for surfers and scuba divers. So there's really fascinating biomimicry solutions that are coming out, and they're usually far more efficient and wise than the work that humans have traditionally created. So we're taking that philosophy and we are overlaying it on chemistry, physics, and biology classes. So while kids are learning about adhesives, in chemistry class, they would be looking at the feet of a gecko and how that was the inspiration for the creation of Velcro.
Wait a minute. The feet of a gecko? Is that what you just said?
Of a gecko, yeah. Yes, yes.
Wait a minute. Let me get the feet of and Velcro. Mm-hmm. Did you just say that?
Velcro was inspired by gecko feet, yeah.
I thought Velcro was a – am I thinking the right thing? Isn't Velcro the sticky stuff, right? One side sticks to the other?
Yeah.
I thought that came from a Swiss guy who got burrs in his shoes or something. What's the gecko? Now you have to tell me this.
There's a number of applications of this, but in terms of adhesives and finding ways for things to stick, people have looked at the feet of the gecko as one design strategy or design insights to apply to human design challenges. There's like thousands and thousands of examples from, you know, wind turbines shaped like the fins of certain whales and all sorts of things. But I was fascinated by it when I ran across it through a TED Talk years ago. And I was like, what kind of way to introduce this to a 15-year-old? Because what happens when you get a 15-year-old
really cool.
to learn about
And now I'm finally getting
concepts.
It that the gecko can kind of move up a tree.
Yeah.
With his little feetsies, right? And therefore, when something sticks. And that's what we're kind of looking for with Velcro. I get it now. I thought you meant like Jake Gecko shoes or Crocs or something. Okay, now I get it. That's right. This is really interesting. What do you hear from the teachers? As you've worked with them for 9 years, what do you hear from educators?
We hear that educators, number one, they feel an incredible amount of support from us. They need support. They have a tough job, and they want to be the best teachers they can. They want to create transformative opportunities for their students to thrive, for the light bulb to go off. We attempt to provide the content and the opportunity for the teachers to be their best teaching selves, so that the students can live to their fullest potential as well. And so we hear a lot from our teachers that, you know, in terms of, you know, the accolades or what have you, that that they feel very supported by us. And this, to me, is an insight, you know, which tells us that teachers can do amazing things when they have a little helping hand. And the pressures of the school system and the campus on a day-to-day basis can be crippling. You know, you can really just be moving day to day, but with just the right amount of empathy and smart resources and just-in-time training, they can do phenomenal things. They can create phenomenal opportunities for their students. And then, you know, we hear from them, of course, that the output of the product or of the program that we offer are these students that are highly engaged. They're super excited to have that voice and agency I was speaking to earlier. And the opportunity to share their ideas with adults. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than a young person who gets to shake the shoulders of their parent and tell them what to do and say, I learned it in school. Now we have to change our behavior.
That's right.
It's an excuse for them to be able to be bold and to be creative and have fun and get their hands dirty. And, you know, that's what education should be about. And that's what we're really excited to be part of.
And, you know, this ties in with so many things, you know, with hands-on design skills you're offering, and you want the kids to think about that. Mm-hmm. So maker spaces, you know, and environmental literacy is in many ways like media literacy. Okay. Mm-hmm. These imbeciles who don't believe, if I may get a little political here, in climate change, these imbeciles who pass out bad information, and environmental literacy is so key for people. You know, you can't, you know, as Neil deGrasse Tyson said about the climate change deniers, nature doesn't care. Okay. Nature does not care. All right. And it's so important with this. And then I like your social innovation side of it, which, you know, it's just real important to understand that everybody has to be involved with this. Are you working with all types of school districts? You know, I know you're working at CTE and AGED. That tends to lead itself to a slightly more rural thing. Are you working with any big urban districts at all on this?
Yeah, I mean, we're in, gosh, I want to say 70 schools here in Austin, ISD,
great.
Austin Independent School District.
Sure.
We have just launched a pilot in a few dozen schools in San Francisco Unified.
Oh, good.
I know that we're in conversations with a number of the other, you know, larger cities throughout the country for
good.
Piloting some stuff this coming fall. So, and of course,
good.
Washington, you know, DC Public Schools is a great district that we've been working very closely with. We'll continue to work with and in creating a strategy for them to actually implement sustainability education across the district. So this is super exciting for us. It's an honor to play in this world where sustainability education is really burgeoning right now. And I'm glad that you brought up before, you know, how environmental literacy, like media literacy, should just be a given. And, you know, I'm seeing a turning point now, thankfully, having done this for several years now, where we're seeing some depoliticization. Is this the word? Depoliticizing.
That's
there
good.
We go.
I can't say it. Depoliticization. Politicization. Whatever. I know what you mean.
I'm getting that.
Politicization.
But it should not be something that's political. It's about our survival.
Yeah, like I said, nature doesn't care.
Yeah, and whether you call it climate change or whether you call it, you know, they're a bad storm, whatever, you know, a bad drought year, whatever. At the end of the day, we have problems we need to solve as a society.
That's right.
And we're all in this together. And we hope that we continue to see a growing movement towards taking the politics out of it and just understand that this is about preparing
your
children for
the future. I don't know how
the
politics ever got into it, Gina. I don't know how the politics ever got into it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's
just absurd. My standing line on that is, if God forbid a doctor ever told you had cancer, would you go to a U.S. senator for a second opinion? And the answer is no. Okay, they have nothing to do with this. Okay, and they're probably dumber than everybody here. So I really, you know, this is just so important, and it's so important to get these kids taught early that they must think about this. and not accept, you know, things that are just coming down the pike and all that. This is great. So everybody can get in touch with you. EchoRise, ECORISE.org, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And you tweet at EchoRise. And you're on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you're getting your act together. After 9 years, this is fabulous. You got a lot of schools working with you. Okay, it's truly 21st century stuff, and we better hurry. Thanks, Gina. This was great. next time you come on, bring a teacher with you.
We will. Thank you, Larry.
Okay, I love it. It's great. Thank you, Gina Lamont. You're a good guest.
Right.
I liked having you on. Go back to Austin now. Go listen to good music tonight.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Okay, good enough. Thanks, Gina.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Gina Lamont, EchoRise.org. You heard what I said. Okay. We got to get these kids to understand climate, science, environmental sustainability ain't politics. All right. It's for real. Thanks, Ed Circuit. Charles, my good buddy, did it again. Thank you for introducing me to Gina. And everybody should go over to edcircuit.com, which Charles Sosnick edits. And Dr. Sosnick will lay out for you all the time great information, good stuff, and my columns over there, okay? So I have a vested interest, okay, in you folks going over there. Okay, so we learned about EchoRise. We learned about Ed Circuit. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We shall tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs, Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of tech services to help your business with everything from data recovery to virus protection. And right now, get $50 off PC diagnostic and repair service so your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time. Ends 5/27. Service does not include parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.